Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden here at the True Straight Up. Chuck Bonniewell and Julie Hayden. Those show, two people.
Those that would be us. The show brought to you by AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, along with Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Boy, a whole lot to talk about today. Trials. Chuck's obsession is back. We've got Elon Musk stuff. Trump's Truth Social looks like it's going to be available. I get to be part of the beta test on laptops, a whole ton of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Want to remind folks, if you want to call in, because no guests today. Today, just us and you guys talking. We love it on Zoom when you put your comments in. Also, if you're listening on Zoom, feel free to kind of raise your hand or unmute your mic and just pop on in. And the call-in number, if you want to call in, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So Pennsylvania primary.
Pennsylvania primary. It's a big one, is or many of the big ones, but it'll be happening Tuesday along with North Carolina and the Trump endorsement.
And Oregon too, right?
Oregon too, although, you know,
that seems
Oregon
boring.
Is boring. Idaho, Oregon. But in Pennsylvania, it's really kind of chopped up the right side. Originally, Trump had endorsed a guy named Sean Parnell. And then he got accused by his wife of beating up the children, or ex-wife beating up her and the children, and that, boom, there you go.
There goes. That'll do it to an endorsement.
Those ex-wives are so great. So then it became kind of a hodgepodge. Dr. Oz, who got famous from his own show, and good
Oprah.
Old Oprah, as well as David McCormick, a hedge fund multimillionaire, and Kathy Barnett, an attractive African-American woman, and some other people. Trump ended up endorsing Dr. Oz, notwithstanding the fact that he had shows where he was anti-gun.
A lot of questions about his conservative.
Well, anybody who comes from Oprah is not going to be exactly a rock-solid conservative. But, you know.
You have grown to like him.
No, I've grown to hate everybody else much more.
Okay. There are a couple of things happening. So Barnett is totally being attacked. MSNBC, they're calling her a white supremacist. And as you said, she's African-American. So she's like, but keep in mind, doesn't matter. White supremacist has nothing to do with race anymore. It only has to do with it being
attitude.
An insult, an attitude. If you do not follow the prescribed narrative that the left has issued us, then you're a white supremacist, among other things. So she's a white supremacist, even though she's African-American. And they're saying that she was on the streets on January 6th.
On the streets, not protesting, not right. On the streets per se in D.C.
Now, there are some who say that this is a feint within a feint within a feint, very Karl Rovian, where that Kathy Barnett is a fake candidate, that actually what they want her to do is steal the vote from Oz. So she and Oz split the vote,
right.
And then the establishment guy gets in. David McCormick, what do you think of that?
I think it's true.
I
think it's a good chance to do that. Most of the time, they do try to put, and it's smart politics, but somebody will divide up one side of the vote if you're just a single one. As a practical matter, Trump looked at McCormick, and he's just the worst ever. I mean, he's a bright, intelligent, very wealthy guy, but he couldn't have been more woke and inclusive, equity, everything
McConnell-esque.
Else. McConnell. Well, he was even more.
More
was
McConnell
far
than
left,
McConnell.
Far left. And then he became under McConnell's one, and he refused to say the election was stolen from Trump, and Oz did not. So he endorsed Oz, and I think that was a good endorsement, even though it's imperfect as it is. You often don't get to endorse. But the trouble is, you know, Trump's people are not, including ourselves, are not just saying, well, Donald says it's great. A lot
right.
of people said, no, we want somebody else who's more MAGA, and notwithstanding Barnett
ultra
screaming,
MAGA.
I'm ultra MAGA. Kathy Barnett has really raced up the things. Now, a lot of questions about, you know, she had quotes on saying, yeah, let's get those honkies and, you know, just give them.
Well, some issues here. Then we get like a million comments. Let me read those real quick. So this from Sandra. So thank you, Sandra. She said she listened to the podcast with Robert Spencer. Thank you, everybody. It's a good, it was a good show. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 if you want to call in. And Sandra, if you're joining us on Zoom, you can also just unmute yourself. Sandra wants to know any information about Kathy Barnett. This is kind of funny from Jacob. Funny, but not funny, Jacob. Mm-hmm. Right side might be chopped up, but the left side is stroking out. I think God has a hand in it. That's a reference, right, to the one guy is having had a stroke, even though he's kind of
Fetterman. He's 6'9". He's a Bernie Sanders supporter. It should be incredibly easy to beat. But, you know, who knows? Republican can always. I think Kathy Barnett would be a terrible choice. But you know.
This is others from Sandra. I'm not sure why I don't trust Kathy Barnett. Heard her on several shows. Didn't think much of her. Yeah. She was apparently did an interview on Fox, which has been schizophrenic. About it, not schizophrenic, multiple personalities about this Pennsylvania race. And I did not watch it, but some of the reviews were that she did not do that good a job. So, you know, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that she's a total fake candidate in the Karl Rovian Machiavellian strategy.
You have to understand how it works. Like here in Colorado, I mean, a lot of people identify as libertarian. You know, I used to identify as small L libertarian. But who funds the Libertarian Party? Well, it's a Democratic Party. Yeah. They don't go, hey, we're the Democrats who want some money. They just contribute money to Libertarians. They fool all the candidates because they know all of them will go against.
They'll take votes away from the Republicans.
If Republicans knew what they were doing, they'd support the Green Party. Yeah. So they have no money themselves. So no one came up. Karl Rove did not come up to Kathy Barnett and say, hey, you know, I'm trying to siphon votes off. They're going, who's a candidate that we can give money to that'll
benefit our candidate.
They don't, you know, where it comes from, you know, she doesn't care as long as she gets some money. So I doubt if she, you know, if it took a lie detector test, she would say, you know, I'm a Rovian candidate.
So Newt Gingrich was talking, and yet there's a whole other candidate, apparently, Newt reveals, that we haven't heard from yet.
Well, there are a couple others. There's a former U.S. attorney who Trump gave the anti-endorsements for. He said that he refused to investigate anything. And so he McSwain, that killed him. And then there's a person called Sandra White. Is that her name?
Carl, well, he talks about it. Okay. Let me just another questions. Dr. Donna, curious is how did Trump endorsed Oz. Dr. Oz has spoken on opposing the Second Amendment, according to him, needs regulating. And then from Jacob, Barnett reminds me of Kasich in Baltimore. Or Kasich, in the race to ruin it for Republicans. Yeah, I'm not sure. But here's what Newt Gingrich was on Fox this morning, and here's what he had to say about the whole thing. TJ, if we could please play the Newt soundbite.
Pennsylvania on the Republican primary is absolutely fascinating. You've got a Donald Trump endorsement with Dr. Oz, but questions about Oz's consistency on conservative principles. You've got Kathy Barnett sort of, you know, capturing the passions of the base. And then McCormick, which seems to be a little bit more in the establishment lane, but they all are vying for sort of the Trump agenda. What do you make of Pennsylvania?
Well, and they've all been beating each other up. I actually have a bias here because I did a call for Carla Sands, who is the former ambassador to Denmark, who's also running. And she may end up emerging tomorrow night just because she'll be the least beaten up candidate. I mean, Barnett's now being beaten up by a super PAC that is saying that she's a never Trumper. You've had Oz really beat up McCormick for his investments in China. Everyone has been beating up Oz for a variety of things. It's been a long time since we've seen a primary where all three of the top people have been so badly battered. Mm-hmm. And I think there are still 35 or 40% undecided in Pennsylvania who are going to have to go in tomorrow. It's a little bit like that race in New Jersey last year where you had a Republican trucker win for $2,300 because people walked in the booth and said, not the state Senate president. They didn't know who the new guy was. They just knew they didn't want the old guy. So,
right.
You know, I think it's very, very much up in the air. I'm going to watch Pennsylvania tomorrow night with real fascination.
Now, let me ask you this, Chuck. What do you think? Let me give you a couple things. Let's say Oz wins. What do you take from that?
that Trump endorsement is great, and it can even help as flawed a candidate as Oz. But I think it's even more important that Trump hopefully takes something back, that he's really got to watch who he endorses. And when he endorses somebody,
it interjects a whole, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but.
People don't go along with it just because he says it. They do it because they think the person will be the agenda that Trump, including the Second Amendment, including a lot of the other things. So,
But I think
it's important for him because he's going to lose Georgia probably with Kemp, who's not awful, but you know, some reasons.
Pence is endorsing him, right?
Yeah, Pence is down there.
There's a shock.
I hope
Hillary Clinton's endorsed
him. Not because of Oz. I think he'll make, you know, he'll be like Toomey. He'll be, you know, all over the place. But it does, McCormick could be worse because he would give another one to.
It'll be Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. He's awful. But it's interesting because it's also resulted in this huge dichotomy. Breitbart, which is one of the kind of news headline ones I look at along with Gateway Pundit and Fox News. Now, Fox is all over the place.
Right.
Hannity
hates
Barnett. I'm not sure if he likes
Shannon Bream, though, had her on and was trying to be nice to her. So somebody clearly was making Shannon have her on.
Right. And they had Martina Bartolomé had McCormick on. So they're all over the place with the various ones. Gateway Pundit's the only one I kind of like these days because it's you know, Fox is absolutely against anything mention of fraud in the election, the 2000 mules. You know, their corporate has cut that out totally. Gateway Pundit does do a lot on election fraud.
Election
it's great
integrity.
For that, and is pro-Trump. Breitbart is kind of like Drudge. I mean, they've become anti-Trump and pro-Mitch McConnell. So, you know, all the news sites.
The news sites are schizophrenic themselves. Yeah. Well, here's what, and then, because I want to talk about the Sussman trial here in a second, but I think what's, a couple of things from this is, I think one, if you're Trump, obviously you're going to win some and you're going to lose some, but I think he should be very careful about who he endorses because I get emails several a day from people he's endorsing. His endorsements tend to put a spotlight on a race simply because the mainstream media wants to see him lose.
Yeah,
right. And so it interjects a whole, I think, kind of, I don't know, sort of factors into some of these primaries that might not exist absent his endorsement. So his endorsement, I think if I were Trump's advisor, I would be telling him to just be really careful who he endorses because they're going to, it's sort of like, you know, anything you say can and will be used against you.
Well, it is. And I'm not sure, you know, Pennsylvania, because his original candidate dropped out for reasons we talked about. And so it's tough. It's tough. But I hope Oz wins. Not because I like Oz, but Barnett would not win the statewide one probably. And I don't know her bona fides. I mean, she sounds sketchy.
Yeah, she seems to have like little kind of Amber Heard issues.
If she's equivalent of the lieutenant governor of Virginia, I've got that black woman. She was brilliant. I mean, I'd support her for any position. But this woman looks much more like a race.
Well, yeah, some questions there. Okay, so I want to switch up to you because you're not going to hear about this in the mainstream media. And there are a lot of reasons, but the Sussman trial started today, jury selection. And according to just the news, John Solomon looks like, although it's kind of hard, he was pointing out picking a jury in DC. One of the questions was, how many of you know people in the FBI and CIA? And like everyone does, right? But in the Sussman trial that starts today, looks like they're going to get a jury today, so it may actually start tomorrow. He is Hillary Clinton's former Hillary Clinton campaign's former lawyer, who Durham has been looking at as part of his probe into the origins of the Russia hoax. And he's been charged with lying to the FBI by saying, oh, look, I was just this concerned citizen who came up with this information about Trump's connection to something called Alpha Bank. So I just called all these people I knew at the FBI and media and everywhere in the world and told it to them as a concerned citizen. And of course, denied that he was working for anybody, but he was working for the Clinton campaign. And so he's accused of lying to the FBI. What's interesting, many things about this, and you're a lawyer and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because I want to point something else out. To me, the big question here is, are they going to get to the FBI and the Department of Justice and the deep state and who all knew? Because I think if you're Sussman, it's kind of like your defense should be, well, they knew they were lying. They were part of it. We all made this up together. We all concocted the Russia hoax. But I mean, they knew I was lying. Wink, wink. It's like, oh, Trump and Alpha Bank. Wink, wink. It's like even Mueller discredited and debunked that, right? And so, but can he bring that up? Or will it be like a mafia trial where, you know, he disappears in the middle of the night, you know, under a bus or something like that? And is he, what I worry about in a case like this is they're just going to blame it on Sussman, right? They're just going to say, oh, he was just a lying piece of, you know what? The FBI was totally duped. Even Hillary Clinton herself was unaware of this. And he fooled all the media people. And he just kind of takes his lumps and goes and becomes a consultant for MSNBC. I mean, what do you think is going to, I'm interviewing you today.
Yeah, interviewing me today. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's a D.C. jury, so, you know, it's mostly black, and who knows how they'll come down. I mean, I think he was somebody who was part of an enormous fraud operation. I mean, I think this crime of lying to the FBI has become so grossly overused and such disingenuous. The FBI goes out in the case in Flynn and you know, pretend they're just
talking. Yeah, but this is different, though. This
may
is different.
It's the same charge. It's the same charge.
Right, but I mean,
he really should be indicted on is conspiracy to fraud justice, not necessarily the administration, because they were part of the fraud to be involved in injustice. I mean,
right.
he made every attempt to fabricate a false story and get the FBI to do it. The only problem, of course, is the FBI was happy to do it. The Clinton campaign was happy to do it. In fact, their present security advisor, Jake Sullivan.
Yeah, a lot of questions about him, too. So we'll see. But I wanted it. So we got a couple of sound bites I want to play in this. So Maria Bartiromo is one of the very few, I think, who's doing a good job, at least on TV. There are a lot of great places on the Internet. And in fact, I'm going to give us a pat on the back ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, years ago, we had Michael Tao on, who was one of the first to really go get into the weeds, but explain there never was a hack of the DNC. There was never a hack of the server. The whole thing was a conspiracy in the first place to make Hillary Clinton look good and to make Donald Trump look bad.
Well, originally, it was an effort to have a counter story against the email server that she had at her home.
That leaked, yes.
And then when the fact that there was Podesta's files go, then they went to high gear on the Russia one.
But they still, I was seeing a tweet today from The Guardian that was saying Kash Patel has written a book. It's kind of weird. It's a children's book about the origins of the Steele dossier. I'm like, that doesn't seem like the kind of book you'd buy your kid. But they were saying, they're saying he continues to peddle lies. I mean, because he puts in there, of course, at the Steele dossier, which the FBI acknowledged was that they used it as one of the main basis for launching the Crossfire Hurricane investigation into Trump. And The Guardian is still lying about it, saying Kash Patel is lying in his children's book about the whole thing. It was all true. The Steele dossier was true.
Terrible.
But anyway, Kash Patel, who was an investigator with Devin Nunes, was one of the few people way back when originally looking into all of this. He was on with Maria Bartiromo. And so he talks about, he said he thinks Sussman's going to be convicted.
He doesn't know any better than anybody else.
But listen to soundbite, though. He kind of explains why he thinks it. Of course, no one knows. But if we could please play Sussman number one.
Hey, Maria, great to be with you. And look, as a former national security prosecutor, I think John Durham is doing the most methodical prosecution I've seen in recent history. And like we did when Devin and I ran the Russiagate hoax, the best way to convict a target of an investigation, especially of a crime, is with their own documentation. It's to follow the money. John Durham followed the money and connected the Clinton campaign with the lawyers, with the Fusion GPS and the FBI. But what he's also done, just revealed last week that he's going to put on display, are the notes from the FBI themselves. And I want to pause here. These notes were subpoenaed by Chairman Nunes, and they were withheld from us during our investigation. But John Durham found them. And what do the notes say? Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok knew, not after the Russiagate investigation began, but before it began, that it was full of lies and corruption that was paid for by the DNC and Hillary campaign. And I think John Durham's going to put that on blast for the entire world to see. And I think Michael Sussman's going to get convicted at the epicenter of this entire hoax.
Now, here's where I am skeptical. So I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit, guys, but bear with me here. So you heard him talk about Peter Strzok and Andy McCabe, who knew the whole thing was a lie. Well, remember way back when Peter Strzok was having an affair with Lisa Page, the FBI lawyer, right? And they were talking about, you know, the insurance policy and getting Trump and things like that. So Lisa Page's attorney is the wife of the judge who's hearing the Sussman case. So do you think that this judge, I mean, maybe he doesn't like her, but do you think the judge is going to let anybody get near Lisa Page? I mean, he can't let him get near Peter Strzok, because if they get near Peter Strzok, then they get near Lisa Page, right? So you wonder, his wife is going, so honey, what is your ruling on that going to be? So I worry about that.
I wasn't clear. Who is he saying was the epicenter of the...
I think Andrew McCabe.
Well, it sounded like he was saying that Sussman was, and Sussman certainly is not the center. He
was just the messenger boy, right? I mean, they needed
somebody.
He had contacts.
Right. He'd been in the National Security Division of the
Justice Department. This was before the Steele dossier. This was the Alpha Bank thing, where they're trying to say, oh, Trump has a secret communications channel with Alpha Bank, all of which turned out to be completely bogus, completely made up. But they were spying on Trump to try to find phone numbers and things like that they could then manipulate to make it look as if he's secretly calling Putin or something like that, which, of course, all turned out to be not true. But what is more interesting, though, and I'm going to play this other soundbite, one of the things that the judge has allowed them to get into, though, because, again, Sussman has tried to say, well, I don't have to talk about this because I have attorney-client privilege. But he can't have attorney-client privilege if he wasn't working for anyone, right? So it's this thing. So the judge has said that Durham can get into some of the relationships between
although he did find in some cases he couldn't have some.
He couldn't get too close to Hillary. But this is what he calls it, a joint venture. And this is the closest we've ever had to anyone saying, okay, this wasn't just a rogue, you know, campaign lawyer going off on his own, or rogue FBI agent and Klein Smith going off on their own. The judge he's allowing Durham to explore. And I mean, Durham just says in the filings, this was essentially a conspiracy. So if we could please play Sussman number two.
But here's the shocking news that most of the world isn't following in John Durham's pleadings. He has laid out a joint venture conspiracy. Those aren't my words. Those are legal words we use as prosecutors that John Durham placed in his pleadings. And he's outlined the likes of Fusion GPS, the tech executive Jaffe. He has said to a federal judge in open court, that man is still a target of ongoing investigations, as are others in Clinton world that I believe include Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor, Podesta, Mook, Mark Elias. Look, what he has done is what Devin was championing from the beginning, leading an investigation based on the truth and only the truth and the facts. And he has put the Clinton campaign and the FBI cabal together in Andy McCabe's office with their own notes to go and lie to an American public, a federal court, and surveil a president unlawfully. And then Andy McCabe is quoted in the notes saying, I want this Russiagate investigation to endure a year after it started to perpetuate the lie and the criminality of their conduct.
So that's significant, I think. And so how far will he go on that remains to be seen. Now, one other interesting thing, because you may say to yourself, oh, God, I am not reading about this anywhere. Well, Politico had a pretty interesting, Chuck, column up today talking a little bit about this. Didn't get into any of the actual details of the charges, but said, you know, the reason you're not seeing any of this is because it's complicated. It's complicated. And because, you know, both sides are making, you know, claims that can't be proven, which is like, hello, that's what a trial is. So if you're trying to say that the mainstream media isn't covering this because both sides in the trial are making claims that haven't been proven yet, that's nonsense. The reason they're not covering it is the media was not duped by this either. Remember how they took all these stories and they peddled it. They peddled the Alpha Bank story. They peddled the Christopher Steele dossier, right? They peddled them to all of these media organizations who actually, the note show, helped them figure out a strategy. So it's that, I mean, you, if you're Washington Post, Yahoo News, MSNBC, all of these media organizations, you can't cover this because you'd have to cover your own, what I believe is probably criminal conduct.
Well, if you want to look at big picture and talk about, will all the guilty parties be thinking, you know, you would have to include New York Times, Washington Post, CIA, FBI, NSA, the Perkins Coie. I mean, it's huge. I mean, all of them were in it. Obama was in on it. Biden was in on it. They all were in it. And so in some sense, you'd have to indict almost the entire left wing of the country, which is really what they did when they did Watergate. I mean, they just indicted everybody. And so where they cut it off, and the farther up you allow it, the better. Sussman is not very high. He's pretty low on the totem pole of all of this. If you get at least Mark Elias, he is at least.
He's one of the evil brains. Masterminds.
He's one of the brains behind it. Do you get Comey? Well, they never will. Will they get Clapper and Brenner? Maybe Andy McCabe, but I doubt it. What is good about this, and what I think has been wonderful about this indictment, is it really has brought out to anybody who's interested, and of course, the left is not in the least bit interested, what the conspiracy was.
Right.
And it really was a conspiracy by the Clinton campaign, who more or less, in cahoots with Obama, the State Department, all the rest, wanted to deny Trump the presidency. And once he had it, to make sure he was so shackled, he couldn't do anything.
He couldn't do anything. Well, and I think, this from Jacob, Elias is getting clobbered in court lately. Yeah, Mark Elias is the former Lawfare guy, and he's getting clobbered in court because not only is in the Durham and the Sussman trial, are they going to be able to talk about him a little bit, right? And it's possible, I mean, there have been hints that he might actually be a target of this joint venture investigation. But also, he's the one who came up with the idea that they're still using, by the way, that if you were president January 6th, under the 14th Amendment, is that right? Excuse me, you can't run for office. The courts have been throwing that away. And I mean, he quit from Perkins Coie. You got to wonder if he's become kind of out of favor, or I mean, if you're the evil genius, you don't have to. Evil geniuses typically don't like to be the front guy, right? So maybe he doesn't care and he's just concocting more evil genius plans. But I think the more that this comes out, I mean, like I said, the left is never going to cover it because in Politico's words, it's too complicated. As Dr. Donna said, that sounds like something on a hookup site. It's too complicated. but it is important because really, when you think about it, it is, I think, easily one of the worst, if not the worst scandal in American history, right?
Nothing compares to it. Nothing compares to it. Nothing really does. I mean, we have the whole government and the press and the whole political establishment in on an enormous con. And it's taken how many years now?
Well, 2016.
Yeah, so it's taken 6 years just to get to this point.
Just to get to this point, yeah. And part of that strategy, I'm sure, is people are like, oh, who cares, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like if a tree falls in a forest, if nobody covers this except, us. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fox isn't doing much with it. Because I think what it does is you had, and we've talked about the deep state and the uniparty so often, you've got people like, you would think that Mitch McConnell would be screaming about this, right? But he's not, because he wants to get rid of Donald Trump too. He could, in anything, they're all unified
in
their hatred.
Are there anybody in the Senate and the House, other than maybe one or two, are screaming about the incredible thing of putting people in jail with misdemeanors and claiming that they get no bail?
You got your Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz. Yeah, I mean, nobody's
seen one person in the Senate is doing that.
Right. No, they just don't care. Let's see. This from Karen Cataline. None of these people police their own unless someone is significantly off the reservation. Once they have Hillary where they want her, the whole thing can be dropped. Can you say Ghislaine Maxwell? Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I kind of thought on this too is I think it is an indication that the left is, they're willing to, if they have to, throw Hillary Clinton under the bus. Now, the judge isn't letting them go up to Hillary Clinton because obviously you would think at a certain point, a scheme this broad and this deep and this corrupt, she had tweeted when they started leaking the Alpha Bank stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then saying, oh, their computer and phone call records, right? Hillary Clinton was tweeting that. So Hillary Clinton doesn't know how to tweet. Somebody was tweeting that on her behalf, but with her okay, right? And so, but the judge won't let them admit that because you would think you could say, well, Hillary, you tweeted this. What did you know about it? Since we now know that it was a fraud, why were you tweeting it? Were you duped or were you part of it? Right. But the judge is like, no, we can't go there. So,
well, it's going to be the trial will be interesting. It won't be covered. And you'll therefore have to get it through the filter of the, uh, of the press, which means almost nothing at all you can trust.
Well, and from what I'm reading, like practically every other witness is going to take the fifth, right? And right, so it's, right, people should look into that a little bit too.
Well,
so
they've granted immunity to one of the witnesses, not the prosecutor, the court saying, okay, you get transactional immunity. And so that person, be interesting to see what they say when they come to court, going, that's not good enough. I still refuse to testify. So it's going to be wild.
But it's important. And just so you know, we'll keep up today. It's only a 2-week trial, which is long actually for a trial, but in the overall scheme of things. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Cause I just think it is, again, it's one of the worst scandals, I think, ever in this country, what they did and what the deep state did. And I think if we think they're not still doing it, it would be foolish on our part. Right.
Yeah, of course they're doing it. Well, what do you think? What happens if Congress takes over the House and the Senate? You think the
Republicans, states, you mean?
Yeah, Republicans. You know, they'll bury in, and if Trump becomes president again, they'll bury even further in. So, I mean, it's exposed how corrupt the system is, really, to its roots. Supreme Court has not been exempted from the...
No, from anything that... Well, so you want to do... I want to talk a little bit about... one thing. This is kind of cool, guys. And you can decide whether you want to talk about... I want to talk about Elon Musk and all this Twitter kerfuffle, but also then the Depp Heard trial.
I'll just get Depp Heard to talk about trials and stuff. So
okay. Wait, let me real quick, though, because I thought of it. Okay. My brain would forget it. So right now, Truth Social, that's the President Trump's supported app. You can only get it on the iPhone, right? It has to be in the phone app. But follow us there. We're at Chuck and Julie. But yesterday they launched what they call a beta test. So they're testing having it up on the laptop. So I get to be part of the beta test. Hooray. As opposed to having to wait forever, or Chuck and Julie does. So keep holding on, guys. I think, because I know we've had a lot of people say it's hard to follow it if you can't do it on your laptop. But I think they're hoping here.
Is it just Apple laptops?
No. They're testing it on Android, Microsoft, laptops, PCs, everything. So it'll be just like Twitter. It'll just be like Facebook. You can either look at it on your phone or you could look at it on your laptop if you want to. And so far it's been working fine. So we'll keep you posted on that, but just to let you know.
All right. Well, today started the
Chuck is happy.
I'm happy. America's happy.
America's happy.
On behalf of America, I'm happy. But today at about 2 o'clock started the most anticipated cross-examination American legal life since
ever.
Clarence Darrow interviewed cross-examined William James Bryant back in the Scopes trial back in Tennessee in 1923. Everybody was waiting for that. Everybody was waiting for this because they really felt that she could be just skewered. And part of the problem is Julie and I have talked about, you know, if you're trying to get somebody to admit that they are lying and they killed the person, that doesn't happen.
Hardly ever. It happened to me one time when I had that skinhead guy confess to murdering a guy. But anyway, that was Omar Jha. Yeah, okay.
That was in court. That was in jail.
Yeah.
But so, you know, the lawyer has a huge field to get over, but also the disappointment of people go, well, you didn't get her to admit that you, and it's over now. So it's at least the afternoon portion of the cross-examination. The part I saw, I thought the attorney for Depp did a good job of cross-examination, sometimes asking the one too many questions, but most of the time letting her not, you know, saying, well, you know, he said, well, no report was filed, no medical.
You claim your nose was broken. We have no pictures, no medical report.
And she said, no, I didn't file it. What you want to say, so there wasn't any. Oh, yes, there was. You know, and so it's a very hard to do. You hope the jury got it. If you try too hard, you lose it. I thought Amber Heard did a good job on her behalf of acting snooty and can't believe that anybody, this stupid woman, asked you these questions. But the trouble is this week, we had a week recess, a little over a week because Friday was off too. And I must admit, when I turned back on, I saw Amber Heard again. I wanted to throw up. I mean,
memes are bad.
And going into court, you can get that on the internet. She comes in, people are booing, you know, and she quickly herds out. Johnny comes in after where everybody's cheering. He's waving to them, saying, this is all my relatives. Hey, everybody. And so it is a reversal of fortune. Here, we're back in 2018, everything, oh, Amber Heard is wonderful, Johnny Depp sucks, and we love Amber. Her claim for $100 million is, they didn't call me back.
Well, and it's not a criminal case, it's a civil case, so there's a different burden. I think though what's going to hurt her is
a lying piece of
if I'm a juror, so she's taking pictures constantly of Johnny Depp. Every time the guy falls asleep, she's taking his picture, but then she doesn't take any pictures that show her injuries, even though she does
take a couple, but they look like, Botox treatment.
Right. No, and she does not
and
look.
One on her arm, I can tell you can just look at all the scars on me.
So if you cut
something and
if you break your nose, it's like breaking your nose.
And I've had my nose broken two times.
Yeah. And
once
they
boxing and once.
And so she has no pictures of that. She doesn't go to the doctor. She doesn't.
And they talk about, it takes a week. It does not take a week to get over that. What happens is it just spreads around.
Yeah, you get this massive bruise.
And then it goes from black and blue to yellow and green and all these other colors. And they keep on showing picture. Oh, I did a great job makeup on that one. So it's the people who hate Amber will not get satisfaction from the cross as much as they'd like. But it's a very professional cross.
If you haven't watched it, it's fascinating to kind of watch. And there's this whole new, this came up in the Rittenhouse trial, and it's how do you spell the law firm? That there's a law. Well, if you just go on YouTube, there's a law firm, and the guy, you can follow him on Twitter. It's Viva Frei, I think, V-I-V-A-F-R-E-I. And it's his law firm. And they have a panel of lawyers kind of running commentary.
Well, there's a PETA law is the one I watch.
Oh, that's okay. And he's on that.
He's on that. And I must admit, the guys on PETA law hate Amber. They can't help just mocking her to the point of, being misogynist. I mean,
and this is from Dr. Donna. I have seen true abuse pictures as well as personally have had a broken nose twice, and she gets an F for her pictures. Send your money now is the law firm. That's right. Well, what's interesting though, and this kind of, did you want to have anything more you wanted to say about that?
Well, it just is going to go on for the rest of the week. And it's a great exemplar on evidence and lots of other things. So all you would-be lawyers, it really is the objections, the everything else has been.
When you watch it, you find yourself saying objection, sustained. She can't say that, hearsay. It is kind of fun to watch it that way. That kind of leads into.
But it does point out you really can't have a trial if you actually follow all the rules of evidence. If you actually follow the hearsay rules, virtually everything other than your own statements against interest or hearsay. So
Sandra's like looking forward on the updates. Well, and we'll keep you updated. And Dr. Donna Depp even calls the objections and laughs. This leads into though how public opinion is swayed. One other thing I wanted to talk about. So over the weekend, last week, Elon Musk said he put on hold purchasing Twitter.
And you just remember, everything goes back to Depp v. Heard because Amber dated Elon Musk, unbelievably.
She met him at the red carpet after Johnny
stood her up. And so Elon's part of this too.
Right. So because Twitter put out a thing, the Twitter CEO, saying that their internal research showed that only 5% of the 219 million daily users were bots. In other words, were fake accounts. And Elon Musk essentially is raising the BS flag on that. And I think the reason he's doing that is he wants to get rid of the bots. So if he comes in, gets rid of the bots, and the daily users go from 219 million to like 50, mm-hmm. right? Then that opens up Twitter to a bunch of liability, I think. It'd be like
his company's worth a great deal less.
Well, yes, company's worth less, but I mean, I'm sure Twitter would be sued. If you were buying advertising, if you were, and the company is misrepresenting, it'd be like if the newspaper, the Cherry Creek Chronicle, if we sold ads based on the fact that we had 219 million daily readers and we actually had like 50, you could be sued for that. But what's interesting, I think, is this whole, and this I think leads into one of the reasons why the left hates him so much. This whole concept of bots, I mean, there are some, because I've been doing research on bot farms. What there are companies. They're called content creators. Well, and content, I use the term loosely, right? What they are, they're just PR campaigns, and they're huge organizations. They're companies, and they have dozens and dozens of people in there, and they create essentially computer-generated Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts, all kinds of things. And then these accounts make fake posts, right? And then their other fake accounts repeat them and spread them. And that's how things get spread. I submit, I mean, if you were to go to on Twitter, hashtag stand with Johnny Depp, right? Mm-hmm. And you see all these comments, I got a sneaky suspicion that a significant portion of them are coming from Johnny Depp's PR firm, who has hired a bot farm to put those out.
Well, PR firms have bot farms.
Well, exactly. And I think, though, here's where I'm going with this. I think that the bot farms, when you just start doing the research, you're like, everything is a bot farm, right? Everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the left is really afraid of finding out. Because if you look on Twitter, you get the sense that these progressive ideas, people support them, that people support Joe Biden, that people support, you know, they don't want Roe v. Wade overturned. You get all of this impression, right? And I think a massive amount of that is fake news. It's falsely generated, right? I mean, that explains why you have people suddenly, you know, you'll have thousands of people on Twitter saying, oh, we love Joe Biden. That's terrible that they're chanting, let's go Brandon, right? And yet at football stadiums, thousands of people, real people spontaneously start chanting it. And it's like they said, how did he get 81 million votes? It's like, how does he have 81 million supporters on Twitter?
Well, what Elon Musk also pointed out is they have algorithms, which when you put something down, the responses are I'm not say censored, are brought up the ones they want you to bring up and not others. So they can go, okay, let's just have pro 10 to 1,
right?
Pro Joe Biden to anti Joe Biden. Let's have this, let's have that, let's have. So they really control the conversation a lot more than you'd think.
Exactly. And I can tell you how to do this if you haven't. And actually, I think I knew this. So if you go on your, on your phone, if you go to like, we'll see if I can hold this up. If you go to your Twitter account, right? Whoops, that's the weather, not the weather. Your Twitter account. Okay. At the very top, I don't know if you can see this. Well, okay. We can't. Operator error here. We're having trouble here.
Hold it up like this.
Well, no, it's okay. Anyway, if you go to the top, okay, there's a little, like a little star there. Okay. If you click on the star, it says your timeline shows the latest tweets. Switch to home. Home tweets are recommended for you. Okay. On the other hand, though, if you want to switch it, you can then, you can go to like the latest. Okay. And you get a whole different switch. So you can say switch to latest tweets, and you get a whole different set of tweets. I mean, it's significantly different. Okay. And Elon Musk, that's why Twitter is all mad at him. Elon Musk is telling people this kind of stuff. He's like, he says, I'm not saying it's malicious. I'm just saying, if you do that, you can see the difference between what Twitter sends you when it decides that it's going to use its algorithm to tell you what you want to see. And when you just actually go ahead, and you could do this on your laptop too, and see the latest, wow, so much to a bot. Algorithms for certain word generator are made. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the algorithms are very tricky and complicated, but I think, and this is why all of this ties together with the left having the Ministry of Truth that they're forming.
Right.
I think that there is way less support for their ideas from real people. I mean, I'm going to bet, I wouldn't be shocked if maybe for some of these giant accounts, maybe more than 80% of them, right? When Kamala Harris tweets something, right? And you see all of these thousands of responses and likes and things like that, I wouldn't be surprised if as much as 80% of them are fake. They're bot generated. So, and that's what they don't want us to find out, I think. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's encouraging that Truth Social is starting to expand and
right,
and that Elon Musk is exposing it. And it in turn exposed people like Obama getting up saying, we can't allow, our democracy can't stand free speech. And all these people who normally you would think,
it'd be for free speech.
Okay, we hate free speech. I
mean, yeah. And here, speaking of free speech,
especially it's because it hurts the misrepresented, underrepresented, underprivileged communities. And yeah, sure.
Which we need to make up of, like Eskimos whose name starts with Z and Tuesdays or something. But speaking of free speech, want to play. This was a pretty funny one. I think, in fairness, Kamala Harris gets attacked. Sometimes the stuff she says isn't as stupid when you actually listen to it as they say it is.
Really?
But this one is just as stupid. This is Kamala Harris trying to, you know, who would be president if Joe Biden is not president. This is her speaking last week. If we could please play the Kamala soundbite.
Sweet Kamala.
Especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
What?
All right.
Now, first of all, she didn't really sound like it was a matter of urgent priority for her. And she's like, which we will, the new norms and rules. And so if you were think that they have their act together on the, you know, this is how concerned she is about climate, right? Our new rules, norms that we will convene to work together on. Like, what does that even mean? Right. And it looked as if she was reading. So I don't know, maybe her people hate her and they just, or maybe.
Man, there's none left. You know, she had to do it herself.
Sometimes you wonder when Rev was really little, he used to text Jenny before he could spell, right? And so Siri would do the autofill, right? And all of Red's texts would be like, and then he wasn't even trying to say anything. He was just typing. It'd be like, and then the blue moon, sweet innocence, have bread tomorrow. I mean, it would say stuff like that. It was all these weird kind of fortune cookie sayings. So you got, or if you have like refrigerator magnets and you know, your kid who can't spell, you know, puts them together and makes sentences. That's what it sounds like she's doing when she's talking these days, you know? Let's see some of the comments here. From Dr. Donna, speaking of this sort of thing, I can use somebody who's good at this to assist with my campaign on social media. If inappropriate to ask here, please delete. Not inappropriate at all. No, if anybody has any knowledge or background on this, just go ahead and you can message Dr. Donna. And Dr. Donna, we can help you with that again next time too. And then good point from Karen Cataline. Elon Musk has been warned to back off the Twitter purchase. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what all is going on in that, but I just think it's interesting because he was actually tweeting. So the Twitter guy was saying, oh, we are so right. Our numbers are right. And he tweeted and he said, you can't tell if you're on the outside. And Elon Musk tweeted a picture of like the poop emoji.
The famous poop emoji.
Outgoing,
which is also a prominent part of the Amber Heard side.
Yeah.
It is.
So, well, exactly. So is anything else? We're kind of got just a few more minutes here. Anything else you wanted to?
Well, it's just a changing universe of on the right. And we have an election coming up, which is going to be fascinating. There was a debate on Saturday on Randy's show between Dick Wadhams and Randy. It was the last hour, 10 to 11. I suggest you listen to that. They both did a good job for their side. But the question is, we're going to have a primary coming up in which for every major race, there'll be one establishment hack and one grassroots people. It is expected that the grassroots people will win, but who knows? Because Joe O'Day just recently came out with a statement that he would, if in the Senate, would have voted to have a federal Roe v. Wade. He didn't think Roe v. Wade should be overturned.
Whoa.
The only trouble that Ron has is how's he get that out?
Well, you got to publicize that.
You got to get somebody who's going to go, and then he'll go, well, I didn't really mean that. I meant, you know, I think Dick Wadham said he wanted to talk to Joe about that. Don't let the rubes know until after the primary.
Why are you saying stuff like that? That is, I think, your cowardly Republican still dodging on the abortion issue. I think when you look at the polling, right, that it is the details that matter on this. I don't know if you guys saw the sound bites with Jared Polis refusing to answer the question. I think it was on Fox when they were trying to say, well, does Colorado law allow abortion up to birth? And Heidi Ganahl did a good job on this. The answer, she was tweeting out, yes, it does. By the way, Jared Polis, under Colorado law, you can have an abortion up until birth. Now, I would submit that if the baby is born and you kill it, that's not an abortion, that's murder. I mean, just call me crazy. But the thing is the polls show the vast majority of Americans also agree with that view, right? There's a huge difference between, in general, what do you think about the concept of abortion? And the country split pretty much 50-50. But when you start getting into the specifics of when and things like that, the country shifts more and more and more to, I think, what conservatives. So if you're a Joe O'Day, rather than saying, oh, we need a federal Roe v. Wade, I think you say something like, I think it is unconscionable to say that you can, you know, kill a baby at birth.
He does say that. But he also says the other, which would not be good for a primary if Ron could get it out. But, you know, who's going to allow him to get it out other than ourselves?
Here's Charlene. Have they split the conservative vote sufficiently to get the rhinos in? I don't think in Colorado, Charlene, so much, because the primaries, what's interesting, remember, for the most part, Secretary of State, maybe, but the rhinos did not even get on the ballot. So the rhinos, they had to petition on.
Barbara Kirkmeyer's gotten a ton of money. I don't know who from, but I can promise you
she's got some TV ads out there.
Yeah, she's awful, and she's a rhino, and she's just terrible. Lori Sain is one good candidate, although she doesn't have the money for these ads. But who's putting all the money into it? Well,
Democrats.
Democrats,
something like that. So on Wednesday, we're going to have an interesting petitioned on is when what they did is they didn't go to the assembly where they were voted on by Republican delegates. They just gathered petitions. They needed a certain number of signatures based on the number of voters in whatever seat they're running for. And so you pay for that. Basically, you buy your way under the ballot is what you do, because, you know, you just have to get a certain number of signatures. On Wednesday, interesting story that Chuck is working on, and that is the city of Glendale has become the
carjack capital of America.
And want to talk about how when you it's you know, you live by Denver or another major city where they have these completely progressive, not even soft on crime, but encouraging crime concepts. It doesn't just affect the city of Denver. Like Glendale Glendale is pretty tough on crime, right? You've got Mike Dunifan as the mayor there. Doesn't matter what they do. They're surrounded by Denver. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, too, just sort of the impacts that this some of these progressive policies have on everyday people.
We'll bring you an update on the Amber Heard
trial. And the Amber Heard trial as well. But I think we'll have Mark Poff on with us Wednesday. He was at Topgolf today. So I'm like, must be rough.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Hey, that'll do it for us, everybody. Remember, you can get links to our podcast and everything because we're on Substack, Rumble, Podbean, iHeart, Alexa, Apple, iTunes, all of it. But the links to everything are at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thank you,
everybody,
for listening. And thanks to the great guys at BBS. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you, BBS guys.